It is one of our favorite Bible stories. You should never pass an opportunity to preach on the feeding of the 5,000, especially on the day of the church picnic. Although I said earlier, we hope we don't need a miracle tonight. You bring those bountiful baskets overflowing with good food for the picnic that starts this evening. This is the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four Gospels. Did you know that? Only the feeding of the 5,000 is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The main reason we're focusing on the feeding of the 5,000 is this will be the last Bible story that we will use with the children in Belize. It will be our last day of Bible school. Emerson, it's going to be on your birthday. On Friday, August the 7th, we will talk about the feeding of the 5,000. And there's so many ways to approach this. There's so many dimensions to this story. There's so many meanings and lessons that come out of this. But in light of what we have heard today from Luke and Hannah and the experience that we had at Passport, I think it's fair to say that when we look at the feeding of the 5,000, this is when Jesus turned the world upside down. The first thing that jumps out at me, and I've never noticed this before, but in John's Gospel, you notice when Kim was reading this, John points out that Passover was at hand. The season of Passover was at hand. Now that's interesting because the question is, if it was Passover, why wasn't Jesus in Jerusalem? Every good Jew went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. You know that. You know the story in Luke's Gospel when Jesus was 12 years old after his bar mitzvah? He makes his first trip to Jerusalem for the Passover. We don't have any account, but I'm confident that every year since then, Jesus and his family had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. It's what every good Jew did. We know from John's chronology, we often think about the synoptics being focusing on chronology, but in John's chronology, there are three Passovers. And we know the public ministry of Jesus lasted 3 years. The first Passover in the public ministry of Jesus is recorded in the second chapter of John. And where was Jesus? He was in Jerusalem with every good Jew. The final Passover, Jesus was there. That was Holy Week. That was the week leading up to his arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. It was Passover. But now we have the Passover in the middle, and Jesus was not in Jerusalem. Not only was Jesus not there, but you have all of these people, 5,000 men, plus the women and children, and you want to ask the question, why aren't all these good people in church? Why aren't they in Jerusalem where they're supposed to be? I don't know if you've been to church lately. You have. But there are probably some of you listening to me who haven't. But you know I'm just looking around the sanctuary here at First Baptist. I think we have more empty seats than filled seats. You think that's fair to say that? Is that that's the way it looks? And that's typical. That's typical of most churches. If we expect the world to come to us is not going to happen. First Baptist Church of Lexington has worship every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and the doors are open for anyone. But the people are not going to be here. I think the first lesson for me is we have to go where the people are. And I think another thing is that we probably don't realize is that there are many more people who listen to my voice than are seated in the sanctuary of First Baptist Church. For many years, we have been blessed to have our services broadcast on the local radio station, WLXN. And now, through the internet, you can pick that up anywhere you can access the internet. You can go on and listen to it live. But you can also go on our church website. Thank you, Tobin. You can go on the church website and you can listen to sermons anytime. So some of you may not even be listening to this in the year 2015. It might be the year 2017. Today's date is July the, 19th, 2015. You may be listening to this 2 years from now. I think one thing we need to remember is with technology, we can reach people we never imagined. But it's not only that. What Jesus was doing, he was going to people where they were. He met the multitudes, not in church, but he met them out in the wilderness. And then this wonderful, tremendous story. The synoptics set it up differently than John. In the synoptic gospels, the disciples come up to Jesus and they said, we got a problem here. You've got all of these people. It's getting late. There's no food. There's nowhere for people to get food. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? You notice in John's gospel, it's a little different. The people are coming and Jesus looks at Philip and the disciples and he said, hey guys, how are you going to feed all of these people? And by the way, in the Synoptic Gospels, when they come to Jesus with that question, he kind of goes, I don't know, you give them something to eat. Now, that's impossible, isn't it? The disciples go into immediate panic because they start looking at the logistics. They get their calculators out. They start adding things up. And Philip said, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about here. Look, have you seen the budget lately? We don't have enough money to feed these people. And even if we did have enough money to feed these people, we don't have money to pay for it. And I don't know where we're going to go. There's nowhere to get any food. By the way, the memory verse that we have, that's Friday, August the 7th, is nothing is impossible with God. Jesus said, you feed the people. Now, what are the lessons in this? If we think the chief takeaway that we have from the feeding of the 5,000 is that Jesus can perform miracles, well, that's good, but that's religion 101. Let me tell you something. All of the little boys and girls who are coming to Bible school this week will tell you Jesus can perform miracles. We know that. God created the heavens and the earth. By his word, the universe came into being. He walked on the water. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. Of course he can feed 5,000 people with a small lunch. That's not really the message for us. We're supposed to be a little bit more advanced than religion 101. Jesus said, you do it. How can you make the impossible possible? Of course, Jesus is a miracle worker. By the way, I was talking to Hunter Huff, who was with us this past week, and we were talking about his work with the Muslims, and we were asking him, how do the Muslims view Jesus? And you know what he said? He said, oh, they think he's a great miracle worker. So even the Muslims say that. But Jesus is turning the world upside down and he says to Philip, okay, you find them something to eat. Back in the 1980s, Steve Sloan was the head football coach at Duke University. And Steve Sloan was a childhood hero of mine because he had been the quarterback at the University of Alabama. He was the quarterback for the 1965 National Championship team. I just thought the world of Steve Sloan. Dedicated Christian. And so when he was head football coach at Duke, I invited him to come to my church one Sunday to speak. When he first finished school, he was an assistant coach under Bear Bryant at Alabama. And he told us a great story about Coach Bryant. He said they were in a football game one day and things were not going well. And he said, when things were not going well in a football game, Coach Bryant would usually turn around and start barking at all the assistants. And so things weren't going good, and Coach Bryant turned around and said, "Get Hensley in the game. Where's Hensley? Get Hensley in this game." And he said there was only one problem. Hensley had graduated the year before. He said Hensley was no longer on the team. And there was Coach saying, "Get Hensley in the team, in the game." So I said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "What do you think we did? We started looking for Hensley." Nobody was going to tell him we couldn't find him. What do you think the disciples did when Jesus said, "You find them something to eat," even though there was no food there? They started looking for something to eat. Now you can imagine this is rather chaotic. The disciples are in panic mode. They're going all around saying, "Does anybody have any food? Anybody stop at KFC? Anybody know where we can find something to eat?" They're going on and on and on. They're not coming up with anything. And then finally, there's a kid. There's a little boy. A lad. Charles Spurgeon once preached on this passage that title of the sermon was "The Lad and the Loaves." There was a kid that stood up and said, "Hey, I've got something to share." The disciples didn't really like kids. You know, we have that other account where they were trying to shoo all the children away. You remember that? They didn't pay any attention to that little boy. He had to stand up and say, "Hey, I've got something to share." I can imagine they stopped in their frenzy and they turned around. "What'd you say? What'd you say, kid?" "I said, I've got something to share. It's not much. My mama fixed my lunch and I'm willing to share it." Jesus turned the world upside down. To me, this is the message that we need to take with us. We already know Jesus can perform miracles, but the message is simply this: what are you going to do with what you have to share? What are you going to do with what you have to share? Listen, we all have something to share. Don't give me that business, "Oh, I don't have anything, I can't do anything." Moses tried that and look where it got him. We all have something. That's the miracle of the church. We all have something. We all have a gift. We all have a talent. We all have resources. Are you willing to share what you have? Because when we begin to share what we have, wonderful things happen. And we need people to share. We need people who have musical ability to share, don't we, Paul? We're looking for some leaders to work with our children on Wednesday nights. We need people who can teach the Bible. We need people who can be involved in different ministries within our church and beyond our church. You see, when the disciples, the way that Jesus turned their world upside down was simply this. They were looking at the impossibility. They were looking at scarcity. They were saying, "This is what we don't have." And Jesus said, "But look at what you do have." What did they have? Well, the first thing they had was they had much compassion. The synoptics give us a little different twist on this story. In the synoptic gospels, the disciples are trying to get Jesus away from the crowds. They're trying to get him a little R&R out in the wilderness, and the crowds follow him. But when he saw the crowds, it said he was moved with compassion because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. When we are moved with compassion, when we see children like our young people saw. Hannah was telling us about where she was working in Danville, about a little boy 6 years old who wore the same clothes every day, and Hannah said when he went home, she knew that he didn't have anything to eat. When we are moved with compassion, when we have much compassion, we can make things happen. Not only was there much compassion, but there was much people. That's literally what it says in the Greek, much people. But you notice what Jesus did? He had them to all sit down, and he divided them up into groups of 50s and hundreds. That's not in John's gospel, that's in the other gospels. He started to organize the people. And you know, when you start to organize people and you divide people up and you put them into groups, great things can happen. When our kids go to Passport, the first night we go into opening assembly, and I wish you could be at an opening assembly at Passport. You walk into a sanctuary, usually a chapel at a college, and let me tell you, you're not at First Baptist Church of Lexington. Because there's loud music and there are beach balls all over the place and people are dancing in the aisles and I don't know what all. And the kids love it and they're excited. And then they receive a passport. And their passport tells them which group they're going to be in. They're divided into different groups. Now, they fuss at first saying, I'm not going to be with my friends. Well, that's the whole purpose. They're put with a lot of new friends, with people from other churches, and they go out and they do the work that Luke was talking about. They go out into the community, and they told us on the last day of Passport that those kids who had come together accomplished over 3,000 hours of work and service and ministry in that community. You see, working together, much people can accomplish great things. What will you do with what you have to share? And then we have to remember this. There was much Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes it all happen. He is the miracle worker. And when we have the compassion, when we have the willingness, when we have the organization, then the impossible becomes possible. There's a great university in Philadelphia, Temple University. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of how this university got started. Back in the 1880s, there was a little girl named Hattie Mae. And Hattie Mae lived with her family. They lived in poverty. They had absolutely nothing. But Hattie Mae wanted to go to Sunday school. And so she went to this little church that was close by, and she went to Sunday school, but the problem was there were many more children who wanted to attend. It was just a small building, and they couldn't get all the children in for Sunday school. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that many children here tonight? But they didn't have room for all the children. And the pastor of the church, a Reverend Russell Conwell, told the little girl, he said, my dream is, my prayer is that we can build a bigger church so all of these children can have a place to come to Sunday school. Well, a few months later, the little girl got sick and she died. And the family contacted the pastor to do the funeral. And when he went to visit with the family, the mother said, we found something under Hattie Mae's bed. She had been collecting pennies because she wanted to help build the bigger church so all of the children could go to Sunday school. There were 57 pennies. And she gave that to the pastor. The next Sunday, the pastor stood up before his congregation and he told the story. He told about the 57 pennies. And he said, I'm going to put these pennies up for sale. Would you purchase one of these pennies today? They raised $250. Now remember, this was 1886. They raised $250, and then they were so motivated by this little girl that they had a group that got together and started thinking of ways to expand that amount. And to make a long story short, they not only built a bigger building, But it was in that building that a college was started that today is Temple University. What will you do? What are you going to do with what you have to share? I pray that Jesus will turn our world upside down, and we will realize that there is nothing impossible with God, and we will be willing to give as that little boy was willing, that we will be willing to share what we have.